feel like the Lord has been very, very good with me. You know what? Jimmy has done such an excellent job at talking about David and how it relates to us, and that we need to come prepared for whatever God is telling us from this man of God, and how we are to embrace the things that David did wrong and learn from his mistakes, and but also what he did right, and how we are at times to be people of war, and we need to understand we're here to exemplify and represent the Word of God. And so when we do that, we may not always be popular. And I'm going to show you some of that here in a minute. Something that God has really shown me and has really brought some revelation to me, and they are of huge magnitude to me. It may be because of my frailty, but you know, I can. To me, they're huge. But part of the season that I think that we as a congregation are in, and the season I'm in, you know, he is showing us the truth of the contrast between the American church and what he wants in the kingdom of God. And there's huge contrast. There's this huge ability to see that God wants a spotless and blameless bride. And so how are we going to get there? And so I was going, when I'm reading these scriptures, you know, I get emotional. I get angry, I get mad, I get sad, I get this fire, you know, when Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah, he said, it's fire in my bones and I gotta let it out. It's fire in my bones, you know? And sometimes I feel that. We gotta get this done. And he's going, cool your jets, man. He says, you know, we're not gonna do this overnight. This is gonna be a process. And what he told me was, you don't expect a newborn to be eating solid food. If you did, you'd choke. If you started giving a newborn solid, give him a piece of meat, he'd be going, he can't digest that. He can't take it in. So understand where we're at. That's going, God, I don't have it. I mean, I don't have that ability. I don't have the ability to understand all of that. When our kids were little, I relied on Sharon a lot, going, well, why can't they do that? Because they're 1 year old, you know. Or why can't they do that? Oh, because they're not of age. They're not mature enough to take it. And I'm going, so what are you expecting out of me in this? And the Lord says, obedience. Hear what I have to say and just obey. I don't have to see the end product. Do we all have to see the end product? I think people who are administrators, like I am, they want to see the end product. Because it justifies the thing that I'm doing so that I know what's going to happen. I know how that's going to turn out. And so that's part of the criteria of me speaking. I'm going, Carmen, if you do this, this, and this, you're going to get this. She's going, okay, I got to trust you with that. She's got to trust her father, her dad. And I got to trust my father. I got to trust him to be able to say, if you just hear me and obey me, it's my job to get it done. Okay. So, I'm going to read you some scriptures. Paul came as a messenger. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And what Paul is referring to here is they started setting up camps between people. And he said, some of you are of Apollos, some of you are of Paul, but you guys can't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 4. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Are you just going, hey, like my camp is better. My team is better. And he's going, aren't you just being human about this? Aren't you just following your flesh about this? And he goes on to explain. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe as the Lord assigned to each. He says, who are they anyway? They're just servants. They're just people who heard God, obeyed God, and they said what they heard God say. And they did what they saw God do. And he comes and says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who? God. God gave the growth. He gave the increase. We just did something here recently. We rallied as a body. And let me tell you, I was very encouraged. I was so encouraged by the obedience of the body that we had here. We said, we're gonna put on this this dinner for the people who live in RV parks, people who are just here during the week. And it was Jimmy's heart that God placed something on Jimmy's heart to say, let's do this so that they can have fellowship. So that they can show that somebody cares about those people. Because it's a hardship. It would be a hardship for me to be away from my wife during the week. And I'm going, why? Well, I would question the Lord. But then he says, so you wouldn't believe the amount of food that was there. I mean, we planned for 200. I mean, you know, we're going to do something in faith. We're going to do it in faith, right? I mean, we had cornbread and beans and, you know, dessert. And, you know, we had all kinds of stuff. And you know how many people came? Zero. Zero people came. And that could be very discouraging. But God, you said, God, you told us. God, we were ready. Tables were set up, the chairs were there. We were ready. And nobody came. Well, I've learned throughout the years that obedience is the best reward. The result may not be what I thought it was going to be. But obedience is its best reward. So I'm going, were we faithful to the word God had given us? Check. Did we show up?
Check.
Was everything prepared?
Check. You know the parable about the wedding feast? The king was given this great wedding for the people, and they didn't show up either. And the king got mad. He's going, okay, let's just scrap this. Go out to the highways and the byways and invite them in for the feast. What's our next step? Same thing. Same thing, just go and do and be and do what God wants us to do and be obedient to His Word. God is more. God is more concerned about what is it that you do, you hear. What is your heart posture to what the Word of God is saying to you? Not only the Logos Word, but the Rhema Word. The one where He comes and speaks to your spirit. Are you obedient to that? Well, I believe you checked all the boxes. What else should we be obedient about? Well, according to this, according to what God is saying, the Word of God is saying, we also need to be obedient to what is our attitude toward the result. Are we good with the result? We did all we could do. And now, who is it up to? It's up to God. It's up to Him to bring the increase. I am telling you this. There's been prophetic words spoken to many people about this congregation. And I don't think that they're just saying, I'm just saying this so that you'll feel good. We don't do that. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't be encouraging, but let's be, the Word of God that He speaks is enough to be encouraging. And so, I believe God has told us, and this will be a way to that, but we would be shoulder to shoulder in here. Well, ain't nobody by his shoulder. Ain't nobody on this side of her shoulder. But that's the Word of God that people have said. You're going to be shoulder to shoulder. Another prophetic word. People are going to come. Well, I believe that. I don't think we're just hyping this thing. We're just saying, let us be obedient to the Word and let God bring the increase. Paul said, I planted. And Apollos watered. That's what it's going to take. We need to water the Word that God has planted inside of you. Has God planted a seed, a word, a piece of faith inside of you? You got to let it grow. You got to make it grow. Why? Because God's doing some work. Some amazing work. I'm really good about not worrying about the numbers. I'm not. It used to really discourage me. Yes. Am I done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep. There's no red light. What are you doing? Thank you. A little technical difficulty. Let me regain my thoughts.
Numbers isn't what it's about.
Honoring God is what it's about.
And that's what we want to do.
Honor, glorify God. So, verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Did you get that?
They're not anything. In the midst of all of it, don't worry about them. But only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Look at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. I love that. You know what? The picture that I had in my head is I'm on a job. The foreman, my boss, is there with me. And we are working together for the same goal, is to build this. And so I see God, and he says, hand me another brick. Another brick. But then, sometimes, the brick isn't set right. Take that one off, and let's do it right. I've been corrected many times to get to this point. And it's not going to stop. I'm going to be corrected some more, because I am still going to be on the job. I'm not giving up. You shouldn't give up. Well, I don't like how Jenny preaches. I don't like how Arthur preaches. I don't like the worship. I'm going, look, we're pulling in the same direction.
Yes.
God's glory. Honoring the Lord. That's what we want to do. And so I esteem the other gifts within the body, with my fellow workers. I esteem that. Sharon, during the week, Jimmy obviously was going to be gone this week, and Sharon said, well, do you have any songs you want to sing? And I'm going, I don't have that ability. He's going, what are you talking about? I said, I don't have the ability to remember the titles of songs. You ask him. Sometimes Sharon wouldn't come the Wednesday night, and I would, and I'd get home, and she says, well, what's our song list? And well, I don't remember. I just don't remember the titles of songs. And then one time they let me lead a song. And, you know, you see Jimmy and give signs and signals, you know. And so I was doing it from there. And I was giving the piano player where to go on this song. And I held up two fingers, and she called me off. It was like a pitcher and a catcher, man. The catcher went, no. I'm going, whoa, what was that about? They said, we can't do that. I'm going, what do you mean? She goes, that transition is better another way. I'm going, okay. So, you're asking me, can you pick out the songs? The word is no. I can't. I can tell you maybe a song that I like, that maybe could you incorporate, but putting songs together is a gift. I'm telling you, the gift. And I ain't got it. Oh, it's got to be in this key, and it's going to transition to this key. I'm going, nah, I only have these kinds of keys, you know. They're right. And esteeming the gifts God has given us. God's going to give us more gifts. If more people are going to come in, there's going to be more gifts. Because every person is gifted. And we need to realize that. We need to realize we need to make room for God to move in people's lives and people's hearts. People come and say, "Hey, I would like to do whatever." And if it's not against the Word of God, or if it's not in season of where we're at, that's it. Go for it. Do. Obey. Live out what God is doing in your life. Because there's where you're going to get fulfillment in your life. Right there. You know what I saw with this meal? I was telling Eric. That day that Jimmy brought it, and I said, not a one, it was 12:10, and not a person was going toward the door. They were locked in. All of us were locked in. We are behind this. We want what God wants. We believe that we're obeying God in this. That was so encouraging to me. Not a one person. And then, this is awesome too. Does it gotta be beans? No. I'm not a real fan of beans and cornbread. What I saw in that was there were people who were already wanting to give more and to give what they could. Get their gift. Man, I'm a cook. And I believe you. So, yeah, we're going to have more opportunity to do what God wants us to do in that area. So there were people going, can I cook this? Can we add rice to that? And I'm going, sure. But let's not get so far off what God is saying for us to do and how to do it. And the correction that I gave was received. You don't know how encouraging that is for a leader to come and give a correction, and people are up in arms. Well, they don't like who I am. They don't like what I want to give. Well, they don't like me. And not that at all. What it was is being pure to the voice of God. That's it. If I have to tell you we can't go that direction, it's not because of you. It's because we want what God wants. Obey Him. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. So, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. We can be that. You are God's field, God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. I have prayed this, people. Because we shouldn't ever be scared. We should have faith. But let me tell you, I'm going to confess my sin. I'm a little scared. Because I know that if you don't build right, it could come crashing down. Joseph has probably built many a building, built a structure, and he knows you've got to set pillars in the right place. You know God calls us pillars. So we've got to set those pillars in the right place. Why? Because we want it to be a structure that stands forever. Not just till we die or till the second coming of Christ. We want it to stand forever. Why? Because what we establish here, God wants it to be established in heaven.
Isn't that great?
You're about to see some stuff here. You're about to see. Someone else is going to build upon it. Let me tell you. There was a guy here named Gary Lehman. This was even before I had been here. I've been here a long time, since 1991. So I've been here a long time. This was even before that. And then, after Gary Lehman, there was Jim Hester. And after Jim Hester, there was Craig Scherer. They brought a flavor. They brought something to the building of God, of God's building. And so, I'm just building upon that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what they brought. I'm thankful for the gifts that were shown. I'm thankful for that. But realize, we're just a part. Just a part. I am not, I'm not doing any more than what God has told us to do. Jimmy talked about during, when he was talking about David, he said, look, you obey the exact word of God. Well, what does that mean? Don't do anything less. Don't get lazy. Don't say, oh, God will forgive me. I'm talking about the sacred things of God. His word is sacred. And he takes it very seriously. You remember me starting out talking to you about where we are at? And so, I come with fear and intrepidation going, I am handling your bride, and I don't want to screw it up. God has put upon me some clarity as to what the husband Jesus and the bride Christ in their interaction, how that should be. And in the Word of God, he says, this is, he uses the analogy of the husband and wife. And he says, that husband, treat your wife this certain way. Okay. And then at the end of that scripture in Ephesians, he says, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about the church. Oh. Listen to this. I want you to take a little trip with me. The word says that if I don't treat her correctly, my prayers aren't answered. Wow. Do you know how much I depend on praying to God? I mean, daily. Sometimes in the middle of my sin, I'm going, I need you, God. I don't know what to do here. God, show up, speak to me. I need your voice. So I can't have it hindered because I got ticked off at her. Or I started ignoring her, or I yelled at her, whatever thing that I'm damaging my relationship with her. God says, I'm not going to hear you. Man. How many of you could go without your phone a half a day? Seriously. How many? I mean, consider losing communication with God. So I can't afford that. I can't afford this. Plus, I like her. I want to have good fellowship
and good communication with her. So, consider this. I've preached on this. The house. It's this house, it's that house, and it's the fellowship house. It's the house. And all of them are related. Okay? So what's good with this house? Let my spirit man, let that work with my soul and my body and have good communication. Come on. All of you been here where it feels like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. I'm not getting anywhere. God isn't listening to me. I've got to check my heart first. Is my spirit connected with my soul and telling my soul, you're not right? Is it connecting with my body? You're not right. And let my spirit man be in control in this house. Well, the same thing is with that house. And I've already talked to you about that. So it's the same thing. So consider this as a master builder. Are we, as a whole, as a body of Christ, connected to the Father? Are our prayers being heard? Are we on the same page? Are we going in the same direction? No. Note it in your life. Note it as to where our obedience is. Note it in yourself. Note it in your family. Note it. And so, it's just something we got to do. We got to be diligent about being where God wants us to be. So right now, I'm going, okay, what do you want, God? Because he's showing me a lot of stuff. And I'm going, fire my bones. I got to let it out, man. I got to preach. I got to say something. And he says, don't you say too much. Because it's not the right time. Oh. Then my next prayer is, God, restrain me. Restrain my soul. Restrain my flesh. So that what? Only bring the purity of his voice and his word. Oh, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I talk to people all the time. The nature of a job, a lot of places. But you know what I hear a lot? I was mad. I just had to tell them. Really? You had to? You had to say something? I did. It was in there. It was rising. I had to say something. Really? Be careful. Because it just shows a sign of immaturity. It just shows you don't have a handle on the spirit and your soul. So what are you telling me? You would go beyond what God would do? You would say more than what God would say? Better be careful. Because the reality is, who is your Lord? Jesus wants to be your Savior, but he also wants to be your Lord. Well, what's that difference? The difference is, you get to go to heaven, but he wants to tell you how to do it. He wants to tell you everything about your life and how to, God, please restrain me. Please restrain me. I got to say, no, you don't. You better be talking to God. You better be asking him, what do you want me to do? That's lordship. That's the lordship of Christ.
For verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What is our foundation? What is our foundation?
Jesus Christ.
I am telling you, the world is forgetting this. The world is saying Jesus doesn't matter. I told you what the Pope told this little kid about his atheist father. Oh, he knows what a dad is like. He doesn't need Jesus. He died. He's going to go to heaven. He's not going to punish. That's not what the Word says. I want to jump up and down. He's the Pope. Do they realize? Does he realize? I know he realizes. I do know he realizes. But he's got a lot of people listening to him. And he says, oh, it's okay. You don't need Jesus to go to heaven. Oh, I want to run up to that microphone that he's talking into and say, it's a lie! Understand this. God says we should be on the straight and narrow. Okay? Straight and narrow. It should be exactly what he wants. Right? Right? Here's the balance. There is such a thing as religious tyranny. There is such a thing as church leaders who take so much liberty and abuse people. Let me tell you, they demand that you follow them without checking the Word of God. That can't be. And so, the people who are restrained by religious tyranny need to be set free. They need to find the freedom of God in their life. They need to know how to rest. Back in the Christian church where I was from, you know, you could lose your salvation daily. Oh man, I didn't do good today. And your prayer at the end of the day is, God, forgive me, please save me. And truly believing that you're going to go to hell because you didn't say, forgive me for all the sins that I did that day. Because you're supposed to confess, right? Wrong. You see, there's that place, that yoke of religiosity that is so burdensome. And they just are weighed down by it and walk in fear. They walk in fear. They go, oh my gosh, I'm saved. I'm lost. I'm saved. I'm lost. They're in this emotional roller coaster. And I feel so bad for them. Know the freedom of God that you have. That's one side.
The other side, everybody's going to hell.
It doesn't matter. They may believe in Jesus or they may not believe in Jesus, but that's okay.
They're going to hell.
And they say that just because they want to bring comfort to their loved ones. And I understand what they're doing. I understand it. But also understand, you cannot change the Word of God. You cannot change the truth. You've got to be lovers of the truth. You can't change it. You can't say, everybody's going to hell.
No, hell is real. Hell is very real. And there's going to be people in it. And oh my gosh. I'll tell you what, I became a Christian because I didn't want to go to hell.
Scared of it.
I'm just telling you the fact.
They told me about hell and said, that's not where I want to go. Doesn't sound like fun. You may have your own interpretation of what hell is. I don't care. But I ain't going to find out either. So, there will be people there. Not everybody goes to hell. They need what? You can't work for it. You can't do so many good deeds. You can't say, oh, look at me. I deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve to go to heaven. All of your works are as dirt and dung. Every one of them. Your pedigree. Ooh, I was born of the seventh son of the seventh son. It don't matter. It don't matter at all. The only way to get to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ. And the way to go to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ.
That's it.
All of our actions are based upon those two scenarios. So, there's a way. I'm preaching to both sides. I'm preaching, if you're bound by the religious system, get out. Get out. There's freedom in God.
Yes.
Get out. There's freedom in Jesus. He wants to love you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to heal and bind your wounds. He wants to do that. Don't settle for someone telling you something different than that.
Yes.
God wants to.
Yes.
He loves you. Yes. He died for you.
Yes.
Hey, jump on the bandwagon. He wants to. But the other side, oh, Jesus loves me so much. I don't even have to believe in Jesus. Oh, the other side, where there's a universal salvation, is straight from hell. And I see more and more people going that way. Why? Sometimes I see because it's easy. It's easy to believe that. It's easy to say, oh, that's okay. The issue is the 1 second after they're dead, they're going to know what's wrong. Why else? Like I was telling you, they bring comfort to people because they're just nicer than Jesus. They bring so much mercy that Jesus isn't showing mercy. And so they say, oh, it's okay. They're going to heaven. I'm not saying you need to go to someone who just... Father who just died, go tell them and say, they're going to hell. I'm saying, show the compassion of Christ to them. Look at them and show God's mercy and compassion to them. And see that God will draw them in. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become a manifest, for the day will disclose it. But it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Many a preacher, many a man, has built a monument unto themselves. We're going to have a building fund, and we're going to build this building, and it's going to, you know. He's going, well, what is the building that will not burn? You. I'm telling you, I want to build in you the structure, the thing that God wants to happen in your life. So that what? You bring honor to God. That's That's the structure that will not burn. That's not the wood, hay. That's not this. Because this is going to burn someday. But you are eternal. Well, that's what I'm building. I'm building in people. Living stones. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Wow. So this is gonna come down. If that was what your hope was in, you might be going to heaven. You might be saved. But your work, what's your work going to look like? If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Oh, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself, and if anyone among you thinks that he is wise in his age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Doesn't it all come down to that? It all belongs to God. Christ, us, this fellowship, all of it. God wants to build a church in this place. The vision is clear to me, and it is a process, and it's going to be a long process. It's going to be one in which we are going to work, and we're going to build on the foundation that God has put here, and that is Jesus Christ. We will not vary from that. We will not go to the left or to the right of that. And if we do, we will be centered again. God loves us that much. God loves us that much. He will center us into where God wants us to be. There is a structure that he has set in place. Remember when we talked about the house? Well, I'm going to talk about that second house, the domestic house. There's a domestic house that is precious to God. I mean, so precious. And today, we honor mothers. And rightfully so. Proverbs 31 tells us about a woman of God. It shows us exactly what a woman of God should be like. Why? We should honor her. John 19:26. Okay. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus was on the cross. Have you ever thought, what would be the last words that you would say if you were about to die? If you knew you were going to die, what would be your last words? Take care of a dog. No. Jesus' last words were, he looked at his mother, he looked at his disciple, and he said, behold thy mother, mother, behold thy son. And what he was saying is, take care of her. Take care of her. And mom, listen to him. He's going to take care of you. That's a beautiful story. Let me tell you, he was hanging on a cross. He'd been beaten all night. He'd been awake for how many hours? And the reality is, he saw what needed to be taken care of. He's about to save the world. This is about to save the world. Taking on the sins of everyone. And he sees his mom. And he says, mom, he says, over here, behold thy mother, and behold thy son. Oh, that's beautiful. I've testified many times of how I've come to praying and what God put on my heart to do. And one of those things was, take care of your parents. They did. My sister lived in Illinois, and I lived in Oklahoma at the time, and I had the opportunity to go back and say, we're going to make a decision to go take care of my parents. And God gave me provision to be able to do that. And I praise God. I praise God. There were challenges along the way, but, you know, just deal with it. Matthew 15. This will be the last scripture. I want you to know there's a lot more things to say. Anyway, Matthew 15. God, he said, ask him to restrain me in the hands. Praise him. Matthew 15. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God commanded, honor your mother and your father and mother. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. It was an Old Testament law that was still in effect. And he says, if you say bad things to your mom, what would they do? Kill you. Now that sounds a little harsh. God thought it was worth it. Don't talk bad to your mom and dad. You don't revile them. Boy, what's revile mean? I'm going to get in heaven myself. Honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles them. In verse 5. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, it's okay. It's all right to do that if it benefits the Pharisees and the scribes, or if it benefits the son or daughter. It's okay. Go ahead and do it. And then Jesus talks to him. What you would have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. he was saying.
If it benefits you, it's okay. Let me tell you what's happening in our society today. If you watch any TV, comedy, they're constantly tearing down the relationship of husband and wife, of parents and children. The children talk back to their parents. The wife makes fun of her husband. The husband goes, oh, well, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Then it's straight from hell. It's just not what God says and how we should treat one another. We should not take our cues from TV. But it's happening. It is happening. When you look at children, or parents are just distraught about where their children are, and they go, they told me they hated me. I go, what? They said they hated you? Oh, they didn't mean it. I don't care. It came out of their mouth. Well, I'm not going to listen to you because you're old-fashioned. You're old school. Well, you know, this is old school. Living by the Word of God is the way we should live our lives and hold true to that Word. It's gotten to where honoring what God says to honor is not in fashion or in vogue. They would rather look different or have something different. If you read verse 10 through the end, because Peter comes and he says, Jesus, I don't really understand what you're saying. Explain the parable to us, he said. Are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? He's still talking about washing your hands before you eat. He says, don't you know that we're not worried about your hands being clean so that when you wash, he says, when you eat, it's going to pass through you anyway. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Do you know what happens before you sin? Right before you do it. Or it may be a long time before you do it. Do you know what happens before you sin? And you're like, what? You think about it. It's just the way things happen. I thought it, and then I executed it. It's the same with obedience. I thought it, and then I did it. He says, it's not what you put in the mouth. It's what comes out. Verse 20. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Okay, you got a little dirt on your hand. Go ahead and eat. Be very careful of what comes out of your mouth. That will defile you. It tells you what's in the ear. Put up there Philemon 6, if you would, Tom. Philemon I'll even say, I lied to y'all, didn't I? I said, oh, this is going to be the last scripture. This definitely the last scripture.
But your vindication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
I make it a point to try to acknowledge everything that I see that is of God. I really do. I really try to do that. And I'm about to do some of that right now.
Carmen, this is the word of the Lord for you. And the Lord would say, you are entering into a different season in your life. There are things that I have done. There are things that I have prepared for you. There are things that I have been very pleased with. But you are going to enter into another season of your life. Things are going to change. Things are going to feel different. Things are going to move differently in your life. And you will embrace those things. And you will know that it is me. And because you know that it is me, we will walk together in the cool of the day. And we will enjoy one another in that. Well, that is the word of the Lord for you this day. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Understanding precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and up to His glory. Here's the instruction today. The instruction today is recognize, bless, give honor who it belongs to. Honor your mother. This is the day that you can do that. But let's try to do it every day. Recognize, honor, identify the things of God in you and in other people. And it will what? Become effectual. It will take root. It will bring about what God wants to do in our lives. Powerful word there. Take advantage of it. Father, I just come right now to you and say thank you for the word of God. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for what you're doing. Father, I thank you that you set aside this day to honor mothers. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us that opportunity. But Father, let the fruit of our lips be sweet and not bitter. Move and have your will and your being in glory with what we say, do, think, and imagine. Thank you, Jesus.